was born bold.
Pivot, protect. Whatever your next move, choose Judo Bank. Essendon, Havel and Great Wall, sticking together with all of Melbourne.
Breakfast with Gary Lyon and Tim Watson.
Great to have your company this morning. The USPGA is heating up, Wisp. I know it might not be your bag, but put the telly on and turn the radio, sound down and have the radio listening to us. There are five players at a tie for the lead at 9-under. Scheffler, Morikawa, Johnson, DeChambeau and Champ all at 9-under. Jason Day's at 7-under. Adam Scott is at 2-under. He's 4-under for the day. And Cam Smith finished even with a card. Jordan Lewis joins us every Monday to talk footy. He's here thanks to Tempur, a mattress like no other. Welcome, Geordie.
Good morning, boys.
Where do you want to start?
Well, maybe I'll start with the most recent thing that's in my mind in last night's game, Petrarca. I can't help, and this is probably the first time in my footballing career that I've watched nearly every game on a weekend on a consistent basis. I used to get away from footy and not watch, but I can't match him up against anyone else in the competition at the moment. I think he's the best player, the player that I would tune in to watch every single week. He just provides so much entertainment, and he's so clean around stoppages. And he was unstoppable last night.
He did do some ridiculous stuff. He's blind turning his way in and out, and where they needed it, he broke for the middle and kicked that long goal. He is in a rare vein of form. And from a Brownlow medal point of view, there's Lachie Neal and there's Dustin, and then there'd be Christian. I would imagine they're all pushing pretty hard.
Yeah, he certainly would have put his hands up for the votes last night, I suppose. I was listening to you earlier. It was a hard game to watch in the first or the early terms. Just the reliable stuff that was missing, I suppose, the handballs that hit the ground, the handballs that missed the targets, the kicks that are wrong, ill-directed. But after half-time, and that's, I suppose, the frustrating things with Melbourne supporters sometimes, is after half-time, that's the side, they show that's what they can do, that's how good they can be. And I suppose the thing watching yesterday's game was the return to form, albeit 1 week, the return to form of Angus Brayshaw. I thought he played really well last night to complement Oliver and Petrarca. And then we're still seeing the emergence and the consistency of Sammy Wiedemann just provides that target up forward and the ability to crash packs.
Hey, Louis, you talk about Petrarca. You saw him up close when you were at Melbourne. What was the thing that was missing in the when you arrived there a couple of years ago? Was it just the endurance or was it his belief? Did he lack confidence? What was it?
Yeah, I think there was certainly an endurance base. I think when any young kid comes into an environment, sometimes they think they're working hard, but they need someone else there to push them. And I think Darren Burgess was that person. You know, when he came in, he gave Christian the license, I suppose, to really push himself from a running point of view. So I think, when you're doing running drills, sometimes it's nice and comfortable to hang in the middle of the pack. You don't necessarily want to go out and, what we say, blow yourself up and then try and hang on for the last few running reps. But that was him this year. He went out, really exposed himself at the front of the running group to the point where, the last two reps, he'd be right at the back. But he did that on a consistent basis, which means you learn how to push yourself, I suppose, from an aerobic point of view. And he was able to do that. I remember when he came to Hawthorne from the AIS, and we had to tell him to slow down. I mean, he was a bull as a 16-year-old kid, and all AIS kids spend a bit of time at AFL clubs to get a bit of exposure. And we had to pull him aside and say, hey, you need to back it off a bit because you're going to hurt a few of the senior players. But it's all coming together for him.
It is. Carlton, they were very good for a large portion of that game against West Coast yesterday, but they've had these problems and interruptions in their game when the score swings around and they're unable to stop the momentum of opposition teams. What is it that you're seeing about the way they play that they're not getting right in that particular area?
Oh, I think, you know, good side. The positive with Carlton is they can bang on a score really quickly. So that box is ticked. Now, what you've got to realise is you've got to have, I suppose, leaders or a style of game to go to when you realise you're under pressure or sides are coming at you. And that might not necessarily feel sexy or feel like the way that you want to play, but you've got to have the football smarts to slow the game down. And I feel like once they're challenged or once a side gets a run on, there's a certain percentage of their game that remains the same. You've got to implement things that either stop the onslaught, and that can be the way you move the ball. It can be you know, putting a player behind the ball to help and assist that. It could be putting a number around the ball to help with the clearances and get ground position. There's a whole range of things. I just haven't seen too much when challenged. It feels like when they're challenged, they still want to keep scoring rather than try and stem the bleeding, just cool their jets for a little bit. And then once that momentum has swung back their way, then it's their chance to attack.
West Coast keep franking their form, six in a row. They've got themselves into the top four now. We suspect they're going to probably have to leave Western Australia at some stage and go back into the hub. But where have you got them?
Just behind Port Adelaide, I reckon. I reckon if I was to choose my flag selection at the moment, it would be Port Adelaide. They're just firing on all cylinders. On the weekend, they were really damaging and really impressive in what was a cracking game. But West Coast sit just beneath them. And as you see, if they can just keep banking those wins at home, at some stage they'll have to leave. And there's still a possibility the grand final may be in Perth, which certainly would advantage them hugely. But, they have the firepower. I always look at sides and think, do they have the firepower to bang on four or five quick goals to get them out of trouble in a game where they might not necessarily be playing their best? And they're one of those sides, and so is Port Adelaide. Brisbane, I've got a question mark over. I don't see it on a consistent basis. Hipwood is their key forward, but just been a little bit inconsistent this year. Those other two sides can be really scary when they start to get a roll on.
And is it the injury toll on the Magpies, who have been my strong pick all year, but I'm also wavering a bit now with Adam Treloar added to a very, very long list of injuries. And it's not just injuries, it's who you get them to. And has it got too much for them now, do you think?
Oh, well, they'll do a hell of a job if they can put themselves in a position where they've cemented a final spot to get these players back. But, you know, Treloar, Penderbury, Hoskin, Elliott, Quaynor, and the list goes on. And as you said, it's one thing to cover injuries, but another thing to cover the injuries that they've got at the moment. And clearly, Pendlebury has been probably the biggest one. He provides that structure around the contest and, I suppose, the defensive element around the contest to allow the others to go to work. So they'll be hanging in there. What are they now? They sit eighth in the competition by 2 points, but it'll be a mighty effort if they can hang in there to stay around the eight and get these players back.
What about tonight's game, Geordie? Big game for St Kilda. Another test for them. I mean, they've passed a lot of these tests. They come up against a team that I still think can win the flag, and that's Geelong. I think they're actually one of the teams that has exposed some of their real depth this year. What are you expecting from the Saints tonight?
Excuse me. I did GWS Essendon on the weekend, and it was a hard game to watch from a commentary point of view, but when you go into the SEN studios or the AFL Nation studios and you know you're doing a game like this, it gets you excited. I love the way St Kilda go about their business. The game against Gold Coast last week was great from out there. Can you hear me?
Yep, sorry.
Yeah, we can. Yep.
Yeah, gotcha. Was great from a football lover point of view, but you know, Geelong just have that ability to not change their game style wholeheartedly, focus a little bit on the opposition, but adapt a little bit. So you would expect there would be no goals over the back like we saw, you know, early in the Gold Coast game. You'd have Harry Taylor deep in defence. Defence is probably their their biggest line or their most consistent line. So they're going to have their work cut out with the smalls of St Kilda, but it just provides an intriguing contest to tune into.
Yep, and we will. We'll be there. We'll be watching tonight in no uncertain terms just to find out just in fact where St Kilda are at. I think it comes at a really good time. Tim's right. I think Geelong are great testing material. So we'll find out exactly where they're at. And St Kilda supporters would be going in really buoyed and confident, I think, with what they've been able to achieve. And we know that the Cats are just so experienced and so consistent in their performance. I think it'll be potentially one of the games of the year. A quick one before we let you go. Dustin Martin's been fined 3 times for striking this year. Have we got that right?
No, I don't think so. I think one fine is enough. You do it a second time. If you're silly enough to do it a second time, well, you spend a week on the sidelines. I don't think the fines are big enough or a deterrent. And I certainly would put my hand up, you know, when I was playing, if it wasn't a deterrent for me, and I don't think it's a deterrent for the players at the moment. They understand what they can get away with. And some are happy to part with $500, $1,000 and continue to play.
Good call. We'll be listening throughout the course of the week. Thanks for joining us, mate.
Good on you, boys. Have a good week.
Thanks, Louis. Lewis.
A reminder about our call of the year to win a brand new Toyota Kluger GX two-wheel drive. Register your interest for the new Toyota Hilux online today. Hey, I got it wrong too. Thanks for pointing it out, everyone. Adam Scott's 4 under. He's 2 under today. I think I got that round the wrong way. So I apologise for that. He's 4 under and 2 under for today. The leader at the moment, Wispy, as we head to a break, is Dustin Johnson, who's now outright lead at 10 under with 4 others following. Let's take a break and be back with more after this.
I was born bold.
Pivot, protect. Whatever your next move, choose Judo Bank. Essendon, Havilland, Great Wall. Sticking together with all of Melbourne.
Breakfast with Gary Lyon and Tim Watson.
Welcome back. Trav Boak not too far away. Dustin Johnson leads the USPGA. He's been joined by one other player. Wisp, you know what his name is?
No, I don't.
Cameron Champ.
Champ!
The champ is joined Dustin Johnson. He may be the appropriately named Cameron Champ if he can hold on. He's 10 under through 7 holes. So he and Dustin Johnson lead. It's tight, tight, tight at the leaders board.
So the champ could win the PGA Championship.
The champ could be the champ. That's exactly right.
Unbelievable.
Just having a little bit of an issue getting a hold of Trav Boak at the moment. So
that's okay. I want to ask you a question about something else, so I'll do that right now then, if that's the case. Do you think that the West Australian government and the South Australian government are whistling Dixie, making or offering themselves up or making a proposal for the AFL Grand Final to be played either in Adelaide or Perth? Do you think it's a done deal that the Grand Final is going to be played in Queensland?
No, I don't think it's a done... Well, I have no idea. But they're talking about perhaps a pre-grand final bye, Wisp, like they do, you know, in the Super Bowl. So
right.
The two prelims will play, and then you've got 2 weeks to get yourself ready for the grand final. Now, if that was the case, would that not open yourself to quarantining in a hub in South Australia or West Australia? Well, we'll talk about it a bit further because we've been able to get on to our man who was absolutely sensational in the game of the year. He's 31 touches, 7 clearances, 7 inside 50s. He's in rare form and he's with us for Tempera Mattress like no other. Trav Boak, welcome.
Good morning, guys. How are we doing?
We're going great, mate. We're loving footy. Not every game is a great game, but I tell you what, we all sat down and watched that game on Saturday and it just restored all of your faith in AFL footy. How was it to play in?
Mate, it was unbelievable. Basically, just how you explained watching it, it felt the same in the game. There's those games where you just, in the middle of them, you're just like, wow, this is some sort of game of footy. I think when you come to the bench, you get a better view of it as well. And the pressure that was on was unbelievable from both sides. Was incredible. But both sides were still able to score. And I actually went back that night and watched the game and, thought it was even better to watch. So, footy's, there's some good games of footy still going around. It was great to be a part of.
You went after him early, and physically and tackling in particular. Was that a focus?
Yeah, we knew our pressure had to be right up. You know, Richmond are a quality side, and obviously want to surge the ball and really get the ball forward in their forward half, very similar to us. And we knew we had to bring our best pressure game. And, you know, when we do that, we bring our best footy as well offensively. So we got some guys in the side who love, you know, that side of it. And, you know, we're able to bring that really well early. Probably didn't hit the scoreboard probably as well as we would have liked, but we're able to fight the game out right to the end, which was really pleasing.
Oboki, you had 31 touches, the most of any player on the ground, 7 clearances, 7 inside 50s. You went back and you watched the game. Who did you give the 3 votes to after sitting back and just watching it on the couch on Saturday night?
Oh, I think there was a number of very good players. I thought Ollie was probably the best. I think some of his grunt work around the packs was huge. And you know, for him and his 150th game, a pretty special week. You know, not being able to play in front of his family is challenging for him. But you know, it's you know, for his game, I thought it was huge. He was able to give our forwards first look and get out to our runners as well. And yeah, he took his game to another level that night. And I thought, you know, Rocky was also very good, and Pep, especially his last quarter, some of his pressure and tackling was huge.
We love the way that Port Adelaide play. We love the way that Richmond play too. And that game, everything that we love about our game was on display. Is it true that Ken Hinckley spends a lot more time on the attacking side of the game than the defensive side of the game?
I wouldn't say he spends a lot more time. I think, you know, he's given us freedom to play, you know, on our instincts. And I think our structures are set up to really take the game on. There's no doubt about that. But as you see on the weekend, the pressure and that's the defensive side of it, which comes first. I think everything comes off the back of the pressure we build in games, and that's obviously defensively. But I think you can attack defensively as well, if that makes sense. And I think that's what we do really well. We want to come at sides and make sure we put a lot of pressure on, but then, you know, explode off that, which is, you know, very similar to Richmond and some of the best sides in the competition. And Brisbane are the same. And so I think you can attack defensively as well, and we've definitely got that mindset. But I think it's still, you know, we've got to defend really well and then go off that.
Hey, we got a glimpse of Peter Laddams, and we have had over the past month or so, but he went forward and showed us a whole another side. Are we just seeing a little sign of something that you guys have known for a long time?
We probably haven't known it for a long time. I think he was, you know, a couple of years ago, he was pretty close to not being on the list, and he's been able to turn it around. It's a huge credit to him. I mean, the work he's been able to put in probably over the last, 12 to 24 months has been huge. And, you know, there's probably times in players' career that, you know, they realise, okay, I've really got to make a change and stand up now and make a name for myself in my career. It's not just going to happen. And he was able to do that. And we'd seen him probably over the last, 12 or 16 months in the SANFL really dominate games of footy, and I had 20-25 possessions, kick a couple of goals out of the ruck, and now he's starting to creep that into his game in the AFL, which is you know, great for him, and he's a super talent, and I thought they worked well together, him and Scotty throughout the middle, and were able to go forward as well and make an impact.
Yeah, they did indeed. And what about Tommy Rockliffe, who has spent some time out of the team, has found his way back in? I just thought he got back to some of his best footy, which could be important as you push forward.
Yeah, it's huge for us. I mean, I love Rock and I love what he brings to our side. And, you know, not only does he, you know, get the ball and use it really well, he's very crafty and smart with the ball. He sets us up really well around stoppage. He's very smart. He's obviously was a leader of the Lions and sees the game incredibly well. So around stoppage, he sets us up really nice. And I think what we've seen over the last couple of weeks is his contested side and obviously his tackling pressure has gone back to the level when he was, you know, all Australian level. So for him to bring that to our group just adds another element. I think, you know, myself, Ollie and Rocky work really well together. There's obviously been a bit of chat that we're all pretty similar, but I think we work really well and bounce off each other quite well. And you add Pep into the mix, Robbie Gray in the mix, and then, you know, when Connor and Zach come in there as well, I think we've just got a really good depth through that midfield.
You hit gold in the recruiting area when you recruited Rosie and Butters and Dersmer, and Rosie didn't play at the weekend. Obviously, Butters had some great touches at the weekend too. Dersmer, we've seen these kids play week in, week out, and they're all super talented. What sort of an upside do you think is left in that three, in that group of players?
Oh, huge upside, mate. I think the best thing about those guys, and Mitch Georgiadis is another one who's coming this year, and Dylan Williams, who we haven't seen, Miles Bergman, these sort of guys, they've got a lot of talent, and you know, credit to our recruiting staff for bringing them in. But what they've got is the confidence to actually go out there and play. So when they do get on the oval, you know, they feel like they belong, but also the want to improve. And that's what you want in a young kid coming in. Inspires guys like myself, you know, the older guys, to want to keep improving as well, to stay around with these guys and teach these guys. But they've got that mindset of, okay, I'm here and I feel like I belong, but I'm going to reach the highest level I possibly can. And that's what these guys have. They've got that hunger, and you know, they're trying to beat up on us at training to improve. And that's what we want from these guys, and go out there and play like they've played 100 games. And that's what they've been able to do with the talent they've got.
Are they super competitive amongst themselves? I've seen them interviewed, and they're good kids. You know, they're very respectful of the game and each other. But are they super competitive amongst themselves?
Yeah, they certainly are. They certainly are. Whatever it is, I think they've got the lockdown league or whatever the AFL's got going, the PlayStation, all that sort of stuff that you know, all the young lads are doing now. And I think they're on F1, a few of them on F1 and FIFA and whatever it is, they're super competitive at it. And that's what we love. I think that's, you know, the beauty of elite sportsmen. They're very competitive, but these guys have got that other level of it as well. And they bring that out on game day. But as you said, they're respectful kids. They're great. They just want to learn and also help each other and help the team and play their role.
They can sit down and watch the Cats play tonight and then play them again on Friday at Metricon, such is the nature of this season. You up and back in the day? What's the travel arrangements?
Yeah, so it'll be a Friday night game against the Cats. So we'll travel up Friday morning, which we did a couple of weeks ago against Melbourne as well. We'll stay up there that night and then fly back early the next morning. So, fly up on the same day, play, and then come back. It's been a crazy year, but sort of haven't minded these travelling the same day and play. I didn't think I'd like it, but it's actually been okay.
No, it's working beautifully for you. You're in rare form, so much so that the old drawstring out of the shorts has caught on. I saw McDonald tip and Woody on Friday night. He had the double drawstring hanging out.
Oh, did it? Yeah, you got to go the double. You can't just have one. The double works a bit better.
Hey, keep up the great work, mate. We love it. We love you jumping on, having a chat with us, and we love them watching Port go about their business. So keep it up.
Thanks, guys. And thinking of everyone in Victoria too, obviously a pretty tough time for everyone over there, our fans, but everyone in Victoria during this challenging time. And certainly, hopefully, we can put on a show footy-wise as athletes and AFL players. And shout out to Mum as well. She loves your show. So take care, Mum. Thanks, guys.
Beautiful. You're a good man. Travis Boak has quickly become one of our very own here, and we love the way he's going about his footy. We'll take a break, get the 8:30 news headlines, and be back with a star that is in rare form at the moment. But it's time now for the conversation starter, thanks to Kia, Australia's best 7-year factory warranty. Where do you want to start from a footy chat, Wispy? It's been, since we last spoke on Friday, there's been plenty of football to be played and plenty to talk about.
Well, let's talk about the best game we've ever seen. Let's start in a positive frame of mind, okay? The best game of football that we've all seen this year, okay?
Yep.
I know why I loved it. Why did you love that game of football? What was it about that particular game that made us all jump up and down and say, there is nothing wrong with footy? If it's played like this, we are still in love with this game and it's the best game in the world.
Because they went forward there. There's a basic synopsis for you. They took the game on and were happy to go forward at every opportunity.
It was a great contest. They're both really fast, athletic teams that took the game on, as you say.
Yeah, but we've had contests. We've had lots of contests. Is that what you loved about it?
Well, no, I loved all those components. I love what you're talking about, the fact that they went forward. That was one part of it. But that wasn't just the only thing about that game that was great. The fact that they went forward, they kept going forward. And then there was the skill level of both teams was amazing. The fact that Richmond kept coming back, because we know they're a great team, Richmond. They kept coming back. Port answered it. I got to a point in that game where I thought, okay, Richmond are going to win this now, because I don't believe Port are capable of doing what they're going to be required to do to win this game. And that is not only answer what Richmond were dishing up to them, but actually be able to take that to another level and then sustain that over four quarters of football. They won a lot of admirers, Port Adelaide, on Saturday, by the way they went about that.
Yeah, so I think the first quarter particularly, and I mean, you're right about the contest was fantastic, but that pressure that Port Adelaide brought in that first quarter was just magnificent to watch. Their tackling pressure was superb, and it just put Richmond on the back foot. And then the sign of just how good a team Richmond are is they steadied and got themselves back into the contest you know, through their ability to play Richmond footy. So what you had is this, you know, a contender that was sitting on top of the ladder against the team that have been there and done it, and we know that we can trust. And I think we walk away with it saying, well, I think I could trust both these teams. If that was to be the grand final, you could be pretty sure that you're going to get a fantastic contest. That's what I got out of it. And there was always that hanging over Port Adelaide, that the fact that they'd previously been able to start seasons really, really well and then drop off the perch a bit. But that's what I took away from that. I could trust both these teams if that's the grand final served up this year.
And they still defend. Like, it's not as if this was just an open attacking brand of football where nobody was touching each other. It was as tough in the clinches as any game of footy we've seen this year.
I reckon.
But the thing was, they still wanted to challenge each other in an attacking sense. And I just want to point to, and I know I sent you a text about this on Friday night when I was watching Essendon against the Giants. The Giants in that first quarter, okay. So Essendon have come off a couple of the big losses where, you know, they've struggled in a lot of parts of their game, particularly defensively. The first, I think it was the first four or five balls that were kicked by the GWS team from over halfway or around halfway into their forward line favoured the boundary line. And you say, What is challenging? What is challenging to a defence? And there were slow balls in there as well. What is challenging to a defence to do that? Now, we all know why they do it. They do that because if they don't take possession of the ball, it goes out of the bounds. They get set up again for a stoppage, and they get repeat forward play, and it stays in their half. Okay, we all know that. We all know that. But that's I think there's got to be a major philosophical shift in the way they play their football for them to be a serious challenger this year for the flag. We know they came close last year, but there are other teams that have just decided that scoring. Brisbane's another one of those teams. They roll on and they try and put a defence under pressure as quickly as they possibly can by getting it from one end to the other as quickly as they can.
Yeah, and that, the surprise in all that is when you look at what they've got ahead of the footy and why they don't. When you've got, you know, three big tall forwards capable of marking the ball in the air or marking it on a lead, the surprise is we don't see them go forward. I just want to get back to the Port Adelaide one quickly and then we can move on. Peter Laddams has got some tricks. The fact they played he and Lysette, you looked at it and went, oh, well, let's see where that's going to work. Westhoff's out of the team. Can they play the two ruckmen? Are they going to look a bit, you know, cumbersome if we've got Dixon and Laddams? He took a big contested mark and then a mark on the lead in the space of about 90 seconds. And you go, okay, big deal. But it was who he took it on, Wisp, that caught my attention. He took a big contested mark on Dylan Grimes and then led Dylan Grimes 30 seconds later to a mark on the lead. That doesn't happen to Dylan Grimes. That just doesn't happen.
No.
He's got some tricks, this bloke, Peter Laddams.
He has. He forced his way into the side. He's been there for, I think it's 3 weeks. They played him because Lysette was injured, and he played so well. He got so much of the ball. He's a really smart player, too. He knows how to find the spaces out there. In the end, I think he just forced Ken Hinckley to keep playing him. And, you know, they may have lucked on something that they didn't think was apparent about their personnel at the beginning of the season.
And they did. And he was a great bloke. We'll talk about, we'll talk to him in a moment. Ollie Wine's fantastic.
Yes.
Rockcliffe, important, got some touches back. Robbie Gray looks like he's recaptured. And Zach Butters, talk about some gushing. I'll be accused of gushing about Zach Butters because he's got real talent, real special talent, Tim. I know everyone goes on about Rosie and that's great, but buy some Butters if you haven't got some Butters.
I mean, he is very, Desmer is very good as well, but you're right. They're clean, those kids. That's what they are. They're second year players, but those three players, when they were chosen beautifully and perfectly because what they bring to the table, but they compete and they're clean. They're great ball handlers for kids.
They didn't stop. Woodcock's a player who's got talent. Kane Farrell's come into the team and he's got, you know, got a beautiful left boot and he's talented. Georgiades has come in and we know that he can play forward. So they kept adding to that team. They haven't stopped. So well done to Port. Huge, huge tick over the weekend. What else got the game? Brisbane Lions and the Bulldogs on Saturday night. Same old problem for the Dogs. They haven't got a forward line that can compete. They just haven't got a forward line that you can trust to get the job done at the moment. And the Brisbane Lions, Ryan Gardner played on Eric Hipwood, and that was always, Eric Hipwood hasn't been in great form, but he's kicked five. Midfield was monstered. I want to ask you about, we spoke about this last week. The amount of football that Lachie Neale and Jack McRae get is just, it's ridiculous, isn't it, in the end? And teams clearly choose not to
tag them.
So, I don't know. Can you imagine playing your footy in that manner? Back when you're at your peak of your powers, just being able to go out there and run free. I'm just trying to get my head around this still.
Yeah, well, I mean, we talked about this a lot, but it goes back to the whole sort of that team defence and style of play and what you favour.
I'll frame it as a group
of players playing against another group of players and who does the most damage.
I'll frame it to you in a better way. What is Jack McRae thinking, do you think? What's Jack McRae waking up today thinking about? Does he go, what more do I need to do to get this side across? Like, I can't get any more footy. I'm getting 35, I'm getting 40, I'm getting 38. What more can I do to influence the result of the game? Does he influence the result of the game enough? And that's not a crack at Jack McRae. This is just the fact that he's got free reign. He's doing what he wins the footy. I'm just wondering, does he influence the results?
Not as much as 35 touches can.
So what's he got to do then?
Well, Dusty has to get Dusty. If Dusty gets 20, and McRae gets 35, Dusty can potentially have more influence on a game of football because of the way that he kicks the ball, what he sees when he has control of the ball, and how he's able to pinpoint targets in amongst congestion, and then the fact that he can go forward and kick goals and create goals.
It's a scoreboard thing.
It's an influence on the game thing, and you're not going to let Dusty run around and get 35 because he can influence the game because he runs, he has power. You know, and this is not a pot on McRae either, but he's got running power in as much as he's got endurance, but he doesn't have break the line power like Dustin Martin has. He doesn't have penetration with his kicks the same way that Dustin Martin has, and he doesn't go forward and kick goals the way that Dustin does.
That's right. That is exactly right. So the answer lies in, well, people around him have got to start picking up the slack and providing some of that stuff that if he with 35, 40 touches isn't as potent, let's say, then the others around him have got to do it, or he needs to work on that side of his game.
That is true. The other bloke, though, you mentioned Lachie Neale. I think he is a great influencer of a game. I
talk more about McRae.
Yeah, I understand that. But the other guy who got let free again and picked up three votes and had 35 or whatever he did, I think he does influence the game because he's such an intelligent ball user. And he is brilliant around stoppages. He's always on the move. And he creates chains of possession that often lead to inside 50s for the Brisbane Lions. So, you have a plan, right? You say, okay, well, we're going to match up our midfielders. This is the way we want to play. But then if it doesn't go right for us and we lose control, then surely you've got to have a plan B whereby, you know, somebody goes to one of those players who is an influential midfielder in the opposition and just tries to reduce their effectiveness. And sometimes, you know, you can send a bloke to somebody and that bloke can just doesn't get the job done too. I mean, that's another component to all this.
That's right. So, and there's a heap of them. Treloar's in that category. McRae. There's a bit of Oliver in that category. You stack them up and you go, well, you've got to concede the 30. And I just wonder how that sits on their shoulders. The opposition don't respect me enough, or that's just the way footy's played these days.
Yeah.
Tom Mitchell. Tom Mitchell's another one. They just let him go. Tom Mitchell just run around.
Yeah, they do. And, you know, you hear coaches defending this all the time, saying, well, we didn't think that they hurt us.
Yeah.
Which was, I'm just trying to remember who it was. Was it Clark or somebody else said, somebody had 40.
Mitchell had 40 or 50 against Collingwood.
Yeah. Mm. Have you put a line through the Bulldogs now? Are they, in your mind, not on the ladder, not when you look at the ladder, But in your mind now, they are out of contention as a top eight side?
They could play finals, but I don't think they'd be doing any damage on the basis that unless Norton can catch fire pretty quickly and Bruce can find some range, Wisp. That's always been my concern, and it remains my concern. I know they kicked 11 goals last, but that's Mitch Wallace getting the job done early, and he's been absolutely sensational, Mitch Wallace. But you can't rely on Mitch to drag you through to a September or a finals campaign. You can hopefully you could rely on him if the others are doing their job to sort of chime in with two or three, which is magnificent.
Norton hadn't played for a while, so you've got to cut him some slack. It's going to take him a couple of games to find his legs again. But he still looks the most likely, doesn't he, in the way that he moves. And then it's going to be a consideration as to the way that those two can play alongside each other too, Bruce and Norton, because they haven't played a lot of footy in the same forward line. And I still think, you know, when you handle a lot between the arcs like the Bulldogs do, and that's the way that they like to play. They play that short game there. It becomes terribly confusing for forwards as to when and if they go, and getting on the same page as the players up further up the field.
A birdie for Dustin Johnson on the first. He leads by one at 10 under. We'll take a break. We'll talk about Melbourne, North Melbourne last night. We can also talk about the Carlton Footy Club and the West Coast Eagles. We've already had a bit of a chat about them, but we'll continue to do it and take your calls. You can join us at any stage, 1300 736 736. Kia offers value you can trust. Australia's best 7-year warranty across the entire Kia range.